Teach Nimble, putting a blend together, mixing online and face-to-face teaching and learning. The presentation overview. So welcome back to week two. We hope you enjoyed the live session on Friday and that you had a chance to interact with your colleagues and to learn some new things from them and maybe from us on how maybe to run live online sessions if you are engaged in that at present. So this time, this week, we're going to be looking at the context for blended learning and fully online learning in the context of the digital society and the digital economy. We are also going to look at blended learning and frame it as good teaching and that there are so many options here, but ultimately it's about good teaching and the benefits of this for our learners. Remember, it's called blended learning, so it should focus on the learners and what they want and what they like and how we can help them to really engage with us in their learning and ultimately take more responsibility for their learning into the future. We will briefly look again at some of the evolutions around the flipped classroom and this growing trend towards active teaching and learning so that the students are actively engaged and that you as the teacher aren't trying to do all the work, and this notion of active blended learning. And we're going to look in particular at sharing content in advance of a live session and what that might look like, what you can do. And Pat is also going to share a tutorial on what that might look like on Teams. And we also have another colleague, Maria Garvey, who is sharing how to use something like a graphic organizer to ensure that the learners have a structure when you do give them a task to engage with. So hopefully you'll find it useful and enjoyable. Living in a digital society. So again, we need to locate this course in the wider context of today's society, which is becoming more and more a digital society. There are more and more public services available using digital technology. We use digital technology to communicate with our friends as part of work. It's just there. It's no longer something on the periphery. It's more and more it's part of our culture. And over the next few years, many expect that we won't even talk about digital anymore because it will be so interwoven into what we do. Now, there are pros and cons with that, and therefore there's an onus on us to educate all of our learners as to how to use these tools in a safe way. But that's another day's work. And the key thing for us on this course is we also need to equip our learners with the competencies to learn using digital technologies. And this is really what we're about on this course. No matter what the content area is, we can use digital technologies to enhance our learning experiences and for us as teachers to help us to do our job in a more efficient way. So that's what we need to think about when we're doing this course. The digital economy. So sticking with the idea of locating this course on blended learning in the wider context, there is a growing trend to use digital technology in the world of work. It's been there for quite some time. And also there's a growing trend of using digital technology and in particular the internet for training or learning or education in the workplace, whatever word is appropriate for you. And therefore there's an expectation that workers in the future will be learners online. They will have the skill sets, the competencies to actually engage with learning online or in a blended fashion with their work. And this is something that we should bear in the back of our minds as we are engaged in this course. Because if we equip them with that skill set in the FET sector, we are really setting them up to succeed in the world of work. So as we return back into our classrooms and we move beyond emergency remote teaching, the space that we are all familiar with, the face-to-face classroom and all those positives that you shared about the space on Padlet are back in play. And then on the right-hand side, we have the online piece that was very much associated with COVID. And the question is, will we use that in combination with the face-to-face classroom? And that is very much where we're going to go with this particular session. The challenge of the lecturer. So on this slide, I have a typical scenario of a teacher standing at the front of the room. Some people call this the sage on the stage model. It's also referred to as the traditional model. The lecturer is presenting material to the students. This also can be done using digital technology. It could be done using PowerPoint. That's the typical one. And this scenario has led to the whole development of the flipped classroom, because often in these settings, learners get lost. The content, the lecturer might be going too fast, the content might be quite complex, the learners are being introduced to new material in the live session, they haven't had a chance to interact with it, to make it their own. So this is a challenging setting for some learners. So it is this setting that actually inspired the whole notion of the flipped classroom. It has come from higher ed. So lecturers decided they would give the material in advance. Students seem to like this. The feedback and the research is very positive around this. And therefore, then this frees up time in the live classroom session, where you can watch out for those visual cues so that there's more discussion and more active forms of learning. How do we keep learners engaged? So building on this idea of the lecture, the presentation, sharing of the content, and we're all under time pressures. So how do we keep learners engaged? How do we cover the curriculum? How do we do it in such a way that we are ensuring that our learners aren't getting lost, that they're engaged, that they have opportunities to interact with the content, with you, and with their fellow learners? So this is very much at the core of the blended learning and of the flipped classroom, is this idea of providing multiple opportunities to engage the learners and to provide a scaffolding. And maybe you might need to do some extra training to help them to do this more on their own. So this idea of self-regulated learning, getting learners to take more responsibility, is at the core of blended learning. So what do learners like? So the research around a blended and fully online is that learners like to know what they are letting themselves in for. So if any of you are thinking about the high impact blend, for example, it needs to be very transparent and very clear for the learners. But also, if you're using a medium impact blend and you're using something like the flipped classroom approach, then also there needs to be clarity with the learners that things are going to change a little bit, and you need to cover things like what you will be doing and when, that their role is going to be slightly different, that you are going to expect them to take more responsibility for their own learning. You're going to give them content in advance. You are going to expect them to engage with that content in their own time and to engage with you if they have any questions. And also, you may require them to engage more with their fellow learners. You might put them in teams or groups or whatever. And so there's a need to be more transparent. And in particular, they like to know about deadlines. And I know from my own experience with Hibernia, we had a particular learning platform where it showed them how many days it was to a particular assignment, etc. So all of this is making it much more transparent for the learner. They like structure. This is the bottom line of online blended learning. They like to know what's going to happen each week, and they want flexibility around when they might engage with the content on their own. So think about the flipped classroom. If you share content in advance, they can access that in their own time and in their own space. So ultimately, they want to be in control. They want more control to manage their workload, to make plans. If any of them have family, they can plan around it. So planning and sharing is very important. We're going to look at that now for a minute. So planning your blend. So as I said in last week's materials, the idea of rocking up to an online or a blended learning session doesn't really work. It's not good for you, and it's certainly not good for the learners. So here is a very simple glance card that we have developed over the last few years with schools and with FET providers. And it's just something to help you yourself to plan what you're going to do. It triggers things to think about what you might do before, during the live session, and after. And if you wished, you could also share this with your learners so they know what's expected of them. The flipped classroom. So the flipped classroom reflects the glance card, and it's about planning, and it's about thinking about what the learners will do before you meet them live, and if they need to do anything else afterwards. And it's about making it more visible for you so that you know where you're going. It's like having a map, but also giving it to the learners shares expectations so that they know what's expected of them. And they like that. That's what the literature and the research is telling us. Some see it as an old idea, and maybe some of you are saying, "I don't know what all the hullabaloo is about. This is there's nothing new here," and you are not alone. Anders Norberg, who's a Swedish researcher who's done a lot of work in this area, I've borrowed a slide from him, and the reference to the slideshow is there if you want to go and look at it yourself. He talks about the oral transmission from the classic sources. Here is a teacher in a monastery. The monks are all sitting in their rows, and on the right hand side they have their books where they can go and they can learn on their own, the more self-directed learning. And when you put the two together, the group learning and the individual learning using the book, supported by the book, you have blended learning 1.0. I suppose the key for us is that today we have much more powerful technologies, and the key one is the internet and things like Teams and other tools that can really help us to take this idea much, much further. So again, sticking with this idea that it's not really a new idea, we are really talking here about the connecting or combining synchronous and asynchronous. And on the left, synchronous is what you do in the classroom. It's when you meet people in the classroom, or it's live online. And we can do things like chatting, we can do things like video conferencing, we can do webinars, classroom activities, audio conferencing, all of that. And on the left, on the right hand side, the asynchronous, we can record lectures, we can share materials. OER is open educational resources. We can have LMS, a learning management system like Teams. We can also have things like books, and we can have forums, or we can have things like Padlet. So this is what we're thinking about here, bringing these together. So blended learning is all about active learning, and that is very much to the fore. If you look on the left, you can see above the dotted line, you have, this is Bloom's taxonomy, you have things like applying information, analyzing it, evaluating and creating. And in the traditional model, the student is expected to achieve these levels on their own outside of class. And below the line, the lower order, the remembering and the understanding, that is typically done in the classroom where they're all together with their teacher. In the flipped classroom, which is on the right hand side, it's the active learning model. The creating, the evaluating, the analyzing and the application typically happens when the learners are all together, either face to face or online. And the understanding and the remembering is when they're on their own, or more and more that can be done with colleagues. It could be in pairs or teams as well. So that's what we're about here. The benefits of the flipped classroom. So on the previous slide, I've shown you the benefits from a learning perspective and from a learning theory perspective, but actually students also see it as a benefit, and they are the key people involved here. They see it that they can revisit information whenever they choose. The class time can be used to engage in valuable discussions with the flipped classroom model. They can interact with you. They can interact with their peers, and educators have more opportunity to provide feedback with the flipped classroom. So from a teacher's point of view, they see this, that it frees up time that they can provide feedback, they can work with students who need help, and ultimately lessons can be more personalized with the flipped classroom, and it frees you up as a teacher to work with those who really need your help. And you can read more about that. I'm going to give you this reference in the materials. It's a very short piece, and it captures it quite nicely. But ultimately, there are huge benefits here for you and your learners. So sticking with this idea, the best of both worlds, I have a graphic on the screen here taken from a blog post from Concordia University of Montreal. They're leaders in the field. On the left is synchronous learning. And let's remember, synchronous learning is when you are in person in a classroom or in a workshop with your learners. It is also when you are live online on Teams like we were on Friday. And on the right hand side is the asynchronous, where the learners are typically away from you at a distance and they are working either on their own or with a colleague or a team. And the synchronous is quite straightforward. You can read that on your own, but I want you to think about a moment for the asynchronous, because that's our focus this week. You can share lectures, you can share podcasts. A podcast is an audio file, and we can show you, if you're interested, how to create those very, very simply. It's about sharing a reading, thinking about the monks. It's giving them a document that you might want them, or a PowerPoint or whatever. It can also be used for things like video demonstrations. Somebody on the Padlet said they were doing this already. Quizzes and assignments can be shared and people can do them in their own time away from the live classroom session. Then they can practice problems and they can get feedback either from you or from a system. It could be done automatically, etc. So this is the best of both worlds that we're interested in. So on this slide, I'm just building on that idea. I'm showing you there that the advantages of the asynchronous, again, which is our focus today, is, you know, that idea of flexibility, that people can engage with the material at a time and a place that is suitable to them. It allows deep processing. I think that's really important because sometimes learners don't grasp the information you're sharing with them or the concepts live at the time in class. A colleague used to call it the Frisbee method. So you're sharing the information with them through your presentation, but sometimes the Frisbee goes over their head or it drops at their feet and they miss it. Some of the limitations with the fully online asynchronous and even with blended is that learners can get lost, they fall behind, they can procrastinate. So we need to keep that in mind. Whereas on the other side, you have the synchronous and there things like social interaction, the immediacy are to the fore. And then there are some problems around inflexibility and the technical problems are to do with the live online synchronous. So again, bear these in mind as you are planning what you want to do with your learner. Acquisition. So we're returning here to the six learning types and the work of Professor Diana Laurillard and her colleagues. So acquisition is defined as watching or listening to a teacher presentation or demonstration, reading from books or websites, watching demos or videos. Very common. Typically during lockdown, at the beginning, a lot of people engaged in acquisition type activities, and it's a key part of what we do as teachers. And on the slide, there are three columns: in-centre, live online, and self-directed. So in-centre, it could be that you're doing a PowerPoint, you're delivering a PowerPoint presentation, or you're giving a classroom demonstration or a hands-on workshop. That is acquisition in a centre or in-person setting. Over on the far right, you have the self-directed or the asynchronous, where learners read a book, they listen to a podcast, they watch an animation, they read something, or they engage with an animation or something else. In the middle, you have the live online, which really doesn't suit for acquisition because learners get lost very quickly. So again, at the bottom, we have some tools that are typically used to facilitate acquisition. And I want you to think about, am I using any of these myself at the moment? You probably are. Sharing content in advance, and I've called this pre-canned material. So on this slide, I just have a number of examples of the kinds of content we can share with our learners in advance. On the top left, there's the pre-recorded presentation with video. Some people like to do it that way. Then you have things like a screencast, which is very good for anything to do with a process. You can record it. Pat, actually, on the module this week and last week, has created a screencast for you. It shows you how to use Teams. So it's a really useful way for anyone who's teaching a process. Then you have the podcast. And podcasts, I have one this week with Maria Garvey, where we discuss the use of graphical organizers. And then you have the pre-recorded presentation with audio, which I'm doing at the moment. And then we have the good old tried and trusted PDF. So key point here is that we have content many ways with the digital formats that we can share with our learners. The key thing is that we need to give them a focus or a purpose when we are sharing this content with them. Sharing material in advance. So a key element or aspect of the flipped classroom and of blended learning is sharing content with your learners in advance before you meet them. So I want you to think now, what content could you share in advance with your learners? And is that content, do you have to make it yourself? Is it available on the internet? What kind of content is it going to be? And as you're thinking about the content, also think about what you want your learners to do with that content. You have to give them a task. As I said, just finding materials and sharing it with them and not giving them explicit direction on what you want them to do is actually a waste of time. So think about that. What content will I share in advance of my next lesson or lecture with my learners? And you can share this content with your learners on Teams or Moodle or whatever platform you're using, but most of you are using Teams. And actually this week, Pat has recorded a screencast of how to use Teams, and he shows you how to share some content. It's a video from YouTube, and he also shows you how to include the task. So have a look at that as well, and that hopefully will give you some ideas of what you might do yourself. And we really want you to try it out with your learners. So returning to this idea of putting the blend together, as you're thinking about this and what you're going to share and what you want them to do, I would encourage you, for yourselves even, just to download, print it out, the glance card, and jot down what it is you're going to do. We want you to focus on acquisition this week. We want you to think about what technology you're going to use. Think about the purpose, and we'd like you to try it out with your learners and see what impact it has. And don't be afraid to ask them when you meet them, did they like it? What did they like about it? Was the video or whatever it was it too long, too short? Was the task you set clear? All of these things, because this will give you feedback. And this is a key part of blended learning, to try it out, learn, fix, and go again. So we're at the end of my pre-recorded material for this week. And the last thing I want to just talk about is the next activity is a podcast with a good friend of ours, Dr. Maria Garvey, who is an expert in bullying and in cooperative learning. And the research here again, and we make this point in the podcast around online learning, is that cooperative learning is a really good strategy, and it helps the learners to stay engaged, and it gives them some really good skills to manage their own learning and to really get engaged and not to fall away or fall behind. And she talks about graphical organizers. So again, you might get some ideas here from the talk with Maria that you can build in to your acquisition activity for this coming week. So please have a listen and see, can you borrow something and put it into your own practice? So take a moment to consider. So we're at the end of the pre-recorded material from me for this week. As I said, there are two additional elements that we'd like you to interact with. There's a short podcast with Maria on online learning and some of the strategies that she finds that work well there. And Pat gives you a practical demonstration on how to use Teams to share an assignment or a task in advance of meeting the learners. So the question for this week on Padlet, and it will also be on the lesson homepage, is what content might you share with your learners in advance of meeting them live? And again, that could be in classroom, or it could be or in person, and it could be online. And the key question is, what is the purpose of that activity? And we'd like you to share it on Padlet. Again, as I say, it was fantastic stuff shared in week one, and we'd like you to build on that. Again, it'll be done anonymously. Just remember that when you are sharing, just click on the plus button in the corner of the Padlet window. Some of you actually just posted in your comments under a colleague's observations, so that's okay, but look, it's better if you hit the plus. So remember to hit the plus button. And the key thing we want you to think about is, we want you to tell us what the type the content is. What format? Is it a video? Is it a document? Is it an animation? Is it a screencast? And if you have an example, stick it in, we can have a look at it. And what's the purpose? What's the task you want them to do? And again, if you want to share that, we will comment on it and give you feedback, and we'll all learn from each other. So thanks a million. Hope you enjoy this session, and we look forward to seeing you live online next Friday.